As Luther lay dying 445 years ago today, he was asked, "Reverend Father, will you stand steadfast by Christ and the doctrine you have preached?" He answered distinctly, "Yes," his last clear word. Later on, some of his friends thought they heard him say as well, "Whoever has my word will never see death." That makes sense. You see, 2 days before his death, the great doctor had reflected upon those very words from John and had written, "How incredible that saying! Yet it is the truth. If a person reflects seriously upon God's word, believes in him, and so falls asleep and dies, then he sinks away before he sees death and passes away blessedly. For certain." Luther thought of God's word as the most important possession a person could have here on earth. But conversely, he thought next to nothing of our human abilities and graces. The last lines that Dr. Martin ever penned were, "No one can claim to have sufficient experience of the Holy Scriptures unless he has ruled his parish with the prophets and the apostles for 100 years. We are beggars, and that is the truth." Luther knew how wicked a person's ways could be and how perverse his thoughts could become. He called that greatest gift of humankind, reason, the enemy of faith. And the greatest works that we could accomplish, mortal sin. For he realized how we humans tended to magnify our filth. We try to hold up our stench-covered works, claim that they are better than the next person's, and then assert that therefore we are deserving of commendation and even eternal life. Luther knew that for a person to come to God, that he would have to change his ways and his thoughts. As the Lord says in our text, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways." Hence, repentance had to take effect. Indeed, the first thesis of the 95 Theses, and therefore the first thesis of the Reformation, is this. When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, "Repent," he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. Repentance! Not trying to justify ourselves by claiming how just and innocent we are and how right we are, and by putting others down to build up ourselves. Every act we do and every thought we think is infected by sin. Especially we, who endeavor to administer God's word and sacraments and seek to live lives that will be worthy of imitation by our parishioners, must in the last analysis admit that our every act is tainted by our sin, by our desire to be seen as better than others, that others will revere us so that we can be worthy of that name, reverend. Hence, we need to repent. But how? Our text has the answer. "My word that goes forth from my mouth does not return to me fruitlessly, but works that which I like, and exceedingly accomplishes that for which I sent it." And what is it that God likes and accomplishes through the sending of his word? First of all, it works repentance. That word convicts the sinner of his wickedness through the word of law. It shows him to be the beggar that he is. That word, then, through the news about the one who came to earth to trade his heavenly riches for our spiritual poverty so that he might bear the punishment for the mess we've created, that word redirects our lives through faith in that supreme sacrifice. That word brings us the Spirit that creates in us a heart that seeks to find the Lord, and lips that love to call upon Him. Through the study of that word, our faith redirects our feet onto the way that leads to God and renews our minds so that we can think thoughts that are heavenly in origin. But what is that word of God that God has sent forth from His mouth and that Luther prized so highly? Is it the Bible? Or is it Christ? Or is it the proclamation of the gospel? The answer is yes. For Luther saw in Scripture that the Word of God has three references, and that all three were interconnected. Yes, the Bible was the Word of God. Yes, Christ was the Word of God. And yes, the proclamation of the gospel was the Word of God. But proclamation that was not based upon the teachings of the Bible and did not speak of what God had done for us in Christ was not God's word. Neither was any teaching about Christ that departed from the scriptural truth or failed to proclaim the good news really God's word either. And of course, anyone who taught from the Bible but failed to use his teaching to proclaim what Christ had done for us in living, dying, and living anew for us could not be claiming to speak God's word. Otherwise, every Jewish rabbi could be said to be a proclaimer of God's word. Let's look at what Luther had to say about the word of God as it refers to Christ, the Bible, and gospel proclamation. Of course, the most important referent to which the phrase the Word of God pointed was Jesus Christ. This Word of God was with God and was God. This Word of God was what created all that was. This Word of God was a word of redemption that God made flesh so that we humans could hear it with our own ears, see it with our own eyes, touch it with our own hands, and taste it with our own lips. It became a part of our history, of our experience. Luther had this to say about this use of the phrase, the Word of God. The most precious treasure and the strongest consolation we Christians have is this, that the Word, the true and natural Son of God, became man with flesh and blood like that of any other human, that He became incarnate for our sake in order that we might enter into glory, that our flesh and blood, skin and hair, hands and feet, body and back, might reside in heaven as God does, and in order that we might boldly defy the devil and whatever else assails us. We are convinced that all our members belong in heaven as heirs of heaven's realm. However, without the Scripture, as God's written testimony to the Word made flesh, our faith in Christ also is impossible. Luther knew the truth of these words of St. Paul to his son in the faith, Timothy, when he tells him, "From infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Indeed, it was only by the intense study of those scriptures that Luther became wise himself to the fact that salvation was only through faith in Christ. His exposure to the scriptures changed him from a work-centered monk who feared the wrath of God to a faith-centered pastor who loved God's mercy. As Luther put it, "What is more blessed and joyous than to believe God's word and cling to it in the face of all temptations and to shut the eyes to all temptations of the devil, to lay aside sense and understanding, reason and cunning, and unceasingly say in one's heart, God has spoken, He cannot lie.' Nothing can be more joyous, I say, than such faith. Indeed, Luther would advise people not even to listen to his own words if they did not agree with Scripture. He stated, "People are not to believe me, the church, the fathers, the apostles, or even an angel from heaven, if we teach anything contrary to the Word of God. But the Word of God should stand forever. This written Word of God that testifies to the saving Word of God, Jesus Christ, was to be revered, respected, believed, and obeyed as if it were personally directed to us from God Himself. And it is. But a word, to be effective, must be proclaimed. A word unspoken but only thought can only edify the one who thinks it. Hence, the Word of God is able to help us only because God has spoken it and sent it to our ears and hearts. When God spoke the Word, He spoke it for a purpose. Because God is love, He spoke it for a loving purpose. He spoke it at creation to create a universe upon which He could shower His love. He spoke it in Jesus Christ to show how He was even willing to commit His own substance to death and damnation in order to prove that He loved us and would forgive us all wrong. And therefore, for Luther, the Word of God that was Jesus Christ as He was revealed in the written Word of God had to be proclaimed to be the effective Word of God. The charge that St. Paul gave to Timothy to preach the Word implied that we sinful humans who have come to faith in Christ could convey God's Word rightly, properly, and with authority. Luther could confess, "I know that on the last day God will attest that I have preached rightly. If I were not sure of this, so that in my heart I could build on it and depend on it, it would be much better for me to keep my mouth shut." But a preacher must have this confidence that he is speaking not his own word, but the word of the Lord Christ. Thus we too can say that He has put it into our mouth. We have not invented it ourselves, but He has given it to us. If we have Christ's word and speak it, then we also have this confidence. But we preachers are not to get so puffed up as to think that we alone can proclaim God's word. Luther, in his sermon on John 4, 46 to 54, where the official from Capernaum's son is healed, and thereafter that official's whole household comes to faith, declares, "Thus we see, if we believe, we are to open our mouths and confess the grace God has shown us. This also is the greatest and best work of faith, namely to inform and teach others in the Word. For as Paul says, Romans 10, with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. If one is ashamed of the Word and hides it, it is a sign of lax faith. Hence, even though lay people may not be able to undertake the public ministry of the Word, they do have a ministry of the Word. For it is the greatest act of love to share Christ with one's husband, wife, children, friends, and co-workers, and then to see to it that this Word is proclaimed to even those whom one will never meet this side of heaven. Therefore, today, right now, the Word is calling on us to repent, to realize with Luther that we are beggars, and with repentant hearts, we are to seek the Lord, for we will find that He loves us tenderly. With chastened lips, we now call upon our Lord, who sent His word to this earth to be our Savior, and who recorded it in the written word with the wonderful love of his message, so that through the hearing of the proclaimed word, we might praise his name forever. Long before his death, Luther had announced, "Not until I am gone will they," namely the papists, "feel my full weight." Indeed, today, the weight of Martin Luther's faith is ever growing. For Luther's weight or power was not his own. Rather, it was the words. That word that has redeemed us, that word that makes us wise about salvation, that word that is proclaimed. In that word is all of God's spiritual power through which he brings the wicked to repent and call upon his name. That word is Luther's legacy. That word is our only reason for being here. Amen.